All right. Now, the next thing I want you to do, this is going to be painful for some of you. But here's what I'd like for you to do. There are three things I'd like for you to say. So please, everyone participate. No one bug out. Please, just do what I ask you to do. Okay? I've asked my kids that, and I always get the rebellious ones. So I'm watching who the rebellious ones are here today. All right? I'm paying attention to you. Okay? Here are the three things I want you to say. Please repeat after me. I'm sorry. I was wrong. Will you forgive me? Gentlemen, I want you to know that this room is full of women who are surprised to hear those words come out of your mouth. I'll never hear my man say that. He'll never apologize for anything. And you see, that's the problem. We haven't learned how to ask forgiveness. We're told and commanded in Scripture to issue forgiveness to people, but we've never really known how to do it. Those three words, those three sentences could resolve so many issues of life, so many problems that you face if you just said, I'm sorry, I was wrong, will you forgive me? But there are some times in life when no one's wrong. There are some times that people have honest disagreements. There are disagreements between Democrats and Republicans. We saw that this week. We've heard it for the last few months. More than the last few months. I'm just tired. I'm just glad it's over. The election is done. The decision's been made. The Republicans here today are saying yay, the Democrats are saying nay, and the Republicans are wondering, are there really Democrats here in the Baptist church? You know? Yes, there are. Believe it or not. And those Democrats love the Lord Jesus Christ. And there are people here with whom you will disagree on a host of other things, and I want you to know they love the Lord Jesus Christ. No right, no wrong, but it's just a preference. And to show you that this takes place within the church, because I know you know it takes place in the church, but I'm so grateful that Paul included an example of that in the book that he wrote to the Philippians. So if you have the book of Philippians, turn to chapter 4, and you're going to hear the story, a brief account of two ladies in the church who could not get along. Can you imagine it? Yes, you can. No, you can't imagine. In chapter 4, in verse 2 of the book of Philippians, I plead with Euodia and I plead with Syntyche to agree with each other in the Lord. Yes, and I ask you, loyal yoke fellow, help these women who have contended at my side in the cause of the gospel, along with Clement and the rest of the fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. I want you to know this morning that there are people who contended with Paul, who worked with Paul side by side, who worked with him day in and day out, who at some point in their ministry had a dispute among themselves. I'm glad Paul doesn't give the illustration of what they were just upset over. But whatever it is, the dispute between one and the other was leading to a disruption within the church. And I want to promise you today that when you have a disagreement with someone within the fellowship, when you have a disagreement with someone in this church, it is not limited to the two of you or to the three of you who may have the disagreement. That disagreement ripples throughout the body of Christ within this fellowship. You know, and you know how I know? You know how to tell when there's something going on? There's a whispering campaign. Have you seen it? They get off to the side and they begin to whisper. That doesn't mean there's a problem in the church. It just means there's a problem between them. And so one side gets the other side, and they whisper the sides. And they whisper the story over here. And they think no one in church pays attention. But the people of the church do pay attention. Because it is infectious. It is raw. It is hurtful. And Paul made a point to say, Aeolia and Syntyche, you need to get together. You need to stop rallying your troops around you. You need to stop causing the dissension. You need to stop trying to pull sides. You just need to say, let's take a break. Here's what you need to do. And if ever you find yourself in conflict, in disagreement, now this isn't something that someone has necessarily done wrong to you. It may, but it doesn't necessarily have to be even a wrong. It's just something over which you disagree. So how do you handle those disagreements that you have? Well, here Paul then elaborates on how this happens. Verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. And I will say it again, rejoice. Bye, Amelia. Bye. Rejoice in the Lord. Here's the one. There will be disagreements between people. But the focus always ought to be, you know what? What I'm disagreeing with them about probably isn't going to amount to a whole hill of beans. It is my preference over theirs. It is my way over theirs. How would you get to Tampa Airport from here? Now, I know that if I ask that question, some of you are thinking, where's Tampa Airport? You know, most people know where that is. You're going to go across the bay somewhere. Some will say, well, I'm going to go across Tampa Road to Hillsborough to Memorial, down catch the veterans, catch the exit off the Tampa Airport, and I'm going to be fine and dandy, and I'll find my way there. Others will say, oh, no, you can't go that way. There are too many lights. It's too confusing, too many turns. You're just going to go down here to East Lake Road. You're going to head that south, and then you're going to get off on 60, and you're going to go across the Courtney Campbell Causeway. And then you're going to find your way to the right exit ramp, and you're going to go over there. That's the best way to go to the airport. And then there would be someone who lives down in South Clearwater or Largo that says, you know, the best way for me to get to the Tampa Airport is going to be to go over the Gandy Bridge or the Howard Franklin. You know, there are a number of different ways to get to the airport from here. Some are longer, some are shorter. But when you ask someone, how do you get there? There's going to be a whole myriad of answers how you're going to get there. Are any of those answers wrong? No, they're just different. Is there any... You know, some will say, is there a right way to paint a room? Is there a wrong way to paint a room? I believe there's a right way to paint the room. But that doesn't make any difference to a non-painter. To a person who doesn't paint a room, you know where they'll start? Right smack dab in the middle of a wall. Almost all the time. And then they're going to go all over the place. See if there's the right way. Now, you see the disagreement I can get into? You see? Because I've painted, there's a way I paint, there's a way that you paint. It's all different. And the end is, the paint is still on the wall. It didn't matter how, so some of the disagreements that we have really aren't going to matter to a whole much when we're all is said and done. So notice this, just rejoice in God. Rejoice that you've got someone who will paint the wall. Rejoice that you have someone who knows the way to Tampa Airport. Rejoice that you've got someone to do it. Just rejoice in the Lord because He's in charge of it all. Now, let your gentleness be evident to all, it says in verse 5, for the Lord is near. Gentleness. What is gentleness here? Well, Paul really means this. Let your gentleness, let your kindness be seen to all. Be kind to them. Speak nicely to them. And do so in a non-retaliatory way. Not in a non-threatening way. In other words, come to the resolution of the matter in a way that doesn't leave people holding a grudge. It is the old adage, the old proverb, let's disagree, but let's disagree what? Agreeably. Let's disagree agreeably, and we can do that. It's a matter of taking one side or the other and just say, look, we're going to disagree on this, so let's just rejoice in the Lord. Let's just be gentle with one another. Let's just work our way through this. Notice in verse 6. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request before God. Now you're going to say, preacher, that has nothing to do with Euodia and Syntyche getting back together. I want to let you know it has everything to do with these two ladies getting together. The very fact that he told them that, let your gentleness be seen by all, it simply means don't retaliate one against the other. He comes down here and said, but don't be anxious, don't worry, don't be fretting over it. Don't be letting that get out of control. Here's what you do. Are you anxious? Are you worried about anything? He says, and everything by prayer. Who do you pray to? The Lord Jesus Christ. My husband wants to do things one way, I want to do things another way, and we just can't come to agreement. So here's what you do. It's hard to do. Pray. When you're in the heat of the moment, when you're at each other's throats, when you're disagreeing, it is hard to sit back and say, well, because here's how I know how people will pray. Oh, God, please change my husband's mind to say things my way. Now, you know he's a rebellious, hard-headed, stubborn individual, but I'm asking that you would just do something to let him know that to see things my way. And guys, I know what you're saying. Lord, she's just a stubborn woman, always has been. And it's just you know how difficult it is to live with women, Lord. You just know that. Change your mind. The prayer should be, Lord, we have a disagreement on how to resolve this issue. Let us come to agreement on it. Let us know how to handle it. By praying to God, I'm going to bring my request, my petition, my interceding with God. But I'm going to do it with thanksgiving. God, thank you that I have the privilege to come to you and talk about my wife. God, I'm glad I can come to you and talk about my husband. Because there really isn't anyone I want to talk to about my wife or talk to about my husband, especially about this matter. I just need to talk to you about it. So thank you for the privilege of doing that. And here is what I want. Here is my request. And then you make your request known, regardless of what it is. Finances, biggest reason for divorce and split up, biggest division within churches too. Finance, who's going to do what, when they're going to do it. So let your request be made known before God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts. And your mind, that is your emotions. The peace of God, once you've prayed, once you've made your petition, the peace of God will guard your emotions so that you're not getting all bent out of shape. And it'll guard your minds, your thinking, so that your thought process will be clear. And it's okay to think about what the other person wants and to see how that will work out. But he says, finally, brothers, and here's what I tell everyone who comes to my office. So if you want to know what I'm going to tell you when you come to my office, say, Pastor, I have a problem with so-and-so. Here's what I'm going to direct you right here, Philippians 4:8. And I'm going to say, look, whatever is true, this is absolutely the deciding issue between these two ladies. Whatever is true. You know when you're at odds with someone, it is hard to remember what is true about them. But you've come to a point in your life where you can't even see the good anymore in people. And sometimes it is hard to see because you're so clouded with division. Whatever is true. Now, if you can't think of anything true about the one you're having conflict with, think about something that's just true in general. What's true, generally? Well, the sun is going to come up in the east. That's a good thing. The sun is going to set in the west. That's a true thing. What are the things that are true? 2 + 2 = 4. That's a true thing. What are the things that are true? And you're going to find out there are a lot of things that are true that you can latch on to. Whatever is noble. Noble. Whatever, in other words, what is worthy to think about? What demands my respect? You know what demands my respect? The presidency of the United States. It demands my respect regardless of who's in office. Because that is an office that is noble. He is the leader of the world and represents the people. Some do it better than others. Some make and I've never known a president yet to make a decision that everyone agreed with. If he does, his name is Jesus, and he isn't here yet. What is noble? What is worthy to think that? Whatever is right. And where am I going to find things that are right? I can't find things that are right out in the secular realm. You know what I have to do? What is validated in the scriptures? What is right here? What is proven to be right here? What are the right things that you find? Is it right to live a morally pure life? Congregation, yes or no? Then live a morally pure life, right? Right. You know, is it right to be honest in all of your dealings with things? Say yes. Why? Because the scripture says so. Not because I was raised that way, but because that's what the Bible says. Is it wrong? Is it right to be content with what I have? Yeah, see? That's a right thing. So think about that. It's right because it's scriptural. What's the next thing? Whatever is pure. And those are the things that are pure. When you're right on things that is pure, but it's the absence of all impurity. You know what reminds me of purity? Snow. I don't care to see it again, especially in Florida. But it reminds me of purity because it's so white. You know, now's the time of the year when you're starting to get Christmas cards sent out and written, and you want just the right one. And inevitably, a Florida person is going to pick out a winter scene. Why? Because it's peaceful. It's pure. Think of those things that are pure. Whatever's lovely. Aren't there some lovely things? Whatever is not just right from the scripture, but right emotionally, lovely in spirit, those are the things you think about. Admirable. If anything is excellent, praiseworthy, think on those things. It is hard to do that when you're having at it with someone, isn't it? It sure is. But whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. Paul was setting himself up as an example. What are the things that are lovely? You know, sometimes the word lovely it's only used here in Scripture, and it's by choice being able to think of those things that are not surrounded by the circumstances in life. Paul was in prison a number of times. We read in Acts where Paul and Silas were in a jail, chained to each other, chained to a guard. The Scripture tells us that they had been beaten severely. Paul had received, and maybe Silas as well, 39 lashes of the whip. The same whip and type of whip that Jesus himself would have been flogged with. Paul says he was flogged like that 5 times for different things. Maybe that Acts was one of those times where he is bleeding, beaten severely. And you remember the account in Acts when Paul and Silas are there? You know what the scripture records next? Paul and Silas were singing. Paul and Silas were in jail, in a dungeon, beaten severely. And their choice that night is not to say, "Oh, Silas, How do you feel? Oh, Paul, I'm really sore. I hope it doesn't get infected. It hurts to move. I know, Silas, it hurts to move too. I can't feel my leg. You know what they chose to do? Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because He first loved me. There is a name I love to hear. I love to sing its worth. It sounds like music in my ear. The sweetest name on earth. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus, oh, how I love Jesus, because He first loved me. Silas, how you feeling, man? I'm feeling better, Paul. I'm feeling better. Worship is a choice that we make every day of our life. And we can choose to be grumpy and cranky and ornery and any other adjective you want to use for grumpy, cranky, and ornery. Or we can choose to be positive, thankful, gentle, loving, gracious, merciful, kind. Those are our choices. Euodia and Syntyche eventually had to say three things. They eventually had to say, I'm sorry. They eventually had to say, I was wrong. They eventually had to say, will you forgive me? But Pastor, you just said they weren't disputing over anything. They weren't disagreeable over things that were wrong. They were just disputing on how things got together. Exactly right. Their attitudes got them in trouble. So you know why they had to say, I'm sorry? You know why they had to ask for forgiveness and admit they were wrong? Because they were proud and stubborn and would not give in. At some point for these ladies to get back on course, they had to say three things. And they were, I'm sorry, wrong, will you forgive me? I don't know what you're facing today. I really don't. But here's one thing I do know. Maybe before this day is out, you're going to meet someone who's grumpy, or you're going to have a word. I mean, I don't know about you, but in my house, it can sometimes turn on just a look. Hey, Beck, how you doing? You said what? I didn't say anything. It's the way you looked at me. I could tell. Who knows what sets it off? But But don't you have disagreements at the house? I do. If you live with another person, I tell you, you have disagreements. How do you handle them? Because I always want to think the best of my wife. I want her to always think the best of me. So you know what I have to do? I have to model that. You know what we're looking for today? We're looking for America's next top model. If I was looking for a catchy, title for this message, I might. America's next top model. And you know what I'd look for? Does a person model these characteristics, these traits in their life so that I might see Christ in them? Do I model these traits in my wife that my wife might see Jesus in me? Does she model these things in her life that I might see Jesus in her? And I'm telling you, I promise you, it is a daily battle. It is a daily choice. You know, when I say battle, I'm going to kind of back off battle a little bit and say, because I may face the battle when I go home. I don't know. But here it is. It's a daily choice that I have to make. Because, you see, I can get up on the wrong side of the bed and show the grumpy side of me, or I can get up out of bed and show the good side of me. I can respond to a question in a nice tone or in a sharp tone. You have that choice too, don't you? Whoever you talk to. Now, for the most part, here you're pretty good. It's what do you like to live with? Oh, I hope that you are a model of verse 8. That people can look at you like they did at Paul. And say, man, Paul, if I ever wanted to model my life after someone, it would be Paul. That'd be the guy. Because in the midst of battle, he could always focus on Christ. In the midst of depression, in the midst of heartache, he could always focus on Jesus. In the midst of everything, he would always be able to say, you know what, I'm not always right, I am human. So the three words, if I had three words to give to Natalie and Halston today, as parents, it is this for their child. Learn to say, I'm sorry, I was wrong, will you forgive me? Because parents, if you think that as a parent, you do not ever have to apologize to your child, then I promise you something today, you are facing struggles with your child. Because you're not perfect. My kids have heard that one too many times to them, or have had to admit, I was wrong. Forgive me. But it keeps me humble. It keeps me accountable to them. And that way I don't provoke them to anger. Hey, are you provoking anybody? Father, in Jesus' name, I pray that this congregation and all of their dealings publicly and personally would begin the model of chapter 4, verse 8. That we would be able to reflect the very character and nature of Christ because we think of those things that are right, true, noble, pure, lovely. Things that are worthy to think of. It's more than just the power of positive thinking because I'll be honest with you, unless the power of Christ indwells me, it is impossible for me to think that like that. So thank you that Christ indwells me. And Father, I know that there are people who struggle with getting things right, keeping things right with everybody. I pray that we might reflect the very glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's who we serve, and that's who we love. Thank you for the lesson we have in Scripture. Now may we obey it. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. There will be adult Bible study here tonight. The program says no, because as of the printing, it was no. But there is a Bible study for adults here tonight, as well as Awana and whatever else is going on. So please be here for that. 6 o'clock here for the study. And I know that David and Kathy would appreciate help in the Awana if you can come listen to Scripture before that time with the children. That would be great for Awana. Judy is quickly going to the back, and you can see her to sign up for those turkeys or for anything else that you can bring for next week's dinner. And the men are at the door because it's the first Sunday of the month, and we take a deacon's benevolent offering for those who are in need. This goes primarily to the people within our church. And so if you would, do that. And are you glad you're here this morning? I was glad you're here this morning. Do you have a song? Let's do one more verse. We will glorify the Lord, all right? You know.